Let's just continue to worship and praise Him this morning. So good, and I mean that sincerely, to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So thankful for all of His blessings, of all God has done this week. He's been wonderful. We've had a great week. We're so thankful that you're here today. Amen. Let everybody know how welcome they are this morning. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Just want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning, if I may. I'd like to go to the book of 2 Samuel. In the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, I'd like to read three verses this morning as the Lord has laid upon my heart, an attempt to bring to you what God has spoken to me. Aren't you glad God still speaks to us? Amen. I just could not make it through the day if I did not hear from the Lord. Amen. Let alone a week. Amen. I just could not. I would be so anemic, amen, that I couldn't even exist. But I'm so thankful that God, in all of His busyness and all of His preoccupation that He does and all of the many prayers that He answers, He still has time, amen, to listen to us when we go to Him in prayer. I am forever thankful of that. In the book of 2 Samuel, beginning with the first verse in chapter 5, when you get there, say, praise the Lord. The Bible writes, "Then came all the tribes," everybody say all, "of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest into Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders," everybody say all, "of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." Can we bow our head in prayer? Amen. Brother Chris, would you ask God's blessing and His anointing this morning upon His messenger? Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Make our ears and our hearts ready and in order to receive your word, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before you're seated, turn to someone and say, "We all are together." Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. My heart stirs this morning, and of late, when I see such controversy and division in the world, there are those that are set out to pit one against the other, one group against the other, and one society, one ethnic group, whatsoever the case may be, against the other. Many, many times I think we point the fingers at the wrong people. I think that we point it to the instigators, we point it to those that stir up wrath and controversy. But can I tell you, there is an adversary that has been practicing this situation from the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Amen. If we as Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ have not learned that our fight is with the adversary, amen, it's not with one another, it's not with one denomination or the other, man, we can agree to disagree. It is not to compromise either. But I believe that God wants His people to come together.
Amen.
Man. People of lack faith, people that are true believers, we need to be concerned about the division that's in the world today. And I want to give you a story today that maybe bears that out as good as anything. We all, if we have been in Sunday school any time in our life, have learned the stories of Saul and of David. Two, probably, arguably, the most influential kings of Israel that ever was, whose characteristics were different, whose personalities were different, whose ways of governing were different, and whose spirits seemed to be different. History tells us that both men would actually sin in their lifetime during their time as anointed king of Israel. And I like that word, anointed. Man, I believe that God anoints people and puts people in the places in the ministry that He wants them to be. You know, God doesn't look for the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I believe that with all of my heart. I know that we must study. And I know that we must show ourselves approved of the Word of God and be able to exhort and know the message of God. But God will lead us in that. But there are personalities that differ. And we find that evidence in Saul, and in David. And it caused controversy and it caused division in the tribes of Israel. Can I remind you that when Joshua took the realm of leadership after the death of Moses and they were preparing to cross the Jordan River into the land of promise, into the land that flowed with milk and honey, that was in fact promised to the seed of Abraham years and years prior to this particular situation. I want to tell you the unity that the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, went across, followed the ark across the Jordan on dry ground. And Joshua said, we need to make a monument. And they took 12 stones and they made a monument. Each tribe was represented. During that time, there was such a cohesiveness, there was such a unity of the Spirit that no enemy on the other side of Jordan could have stood against the power of God that was in the 12 tribes of Israel, because they were knit together, they were working for the same goal, they had the same focus, they knew that Joshua was the next leader, and the Bible says they began to fear Joshua as they did Moses, and God began to wrought miracles after miracle as they began to be victorious over every enemy that they faced. And I'm telling you, we serve the same God. I'm telling you, God will, amen, He will bless those when we come together in spirit, when we come together in mind, when we come together in one accord, when we come for the purpose, amen, of worshiping and glorifying God and seeing souls saved. Let me tell you, amen, the focus and the mission statement has not changed from the very beginning when He anointed the 12 disciples to go out and the 70 to go out. It is still to see souls saved. It is still to build up the kingdom of God. Amen. And any other reason, praise God, we have division. It's to focus on God's will. The children of Israel, I love this, because prior to this time, let me get back to just a little bit of the difference between Saul and David. As I said, both would actually commit sin in their time of king. Saul's heart was hardened. He tended to try to hide the sin, where David confessed his sin and came to God in a repentant spirit. God can use repentance. God can bless repentance. God will honor repentance. We're all human. We're all subject to failure. Amen. And when that failure happens, we need to get it right before the Lord. And God will again begin to bless. And this is immediately after the death of Saul, which even caused remorse in David's heart and in his spirit, because in fact he knew that even Saul, though he had sinned and missed out with God, he still was anointed of God. And therefore David's heart was saddened because of the death of Saul. But yet, how many knows that God has a reason and God has a purpose? And the children of Israel, because that some were loyal to Saul and others were loyal to David, there was division in the camp. Maybe they weren't thinking about the 12 stones. The day that they were in one mind and one accord and looking for the same goals and looking to please God and go into the inheritance that God had provided for them. Can I remind us that many, many times through controversy, through situations, through obstacles in our life, many, many times the human part of us, the fleshly part of us, forgets the time, amen, that we were so in tune to Christ and to God's Spirit. We begin to maybe focus on the problem at hand rather than the problem solver. Amen. I'm a firm believer that God is able to do whatever needs to be done in any situation in my life. I believe that with all of my heart. For whatever reason, there began to be division. There began to be controversy. There began to be brother against brother, tribe against tribe. And it was never intended to be that division, but from God's anointed seed of Abraham, He wanted them to be cohesive. He wanted them to be in unity. He wanted them to be one body. Amen. Looking for that blessed inheritance that God had provided for them. But there was strife between David and Saul, and certainly it caused strife between the tribes of Israel. And God's desire was that the 12 tribes would come together. Understand that if the body is division, or if there is division in the body, then there is not a complete body. Man, it's not able to operate as it should. We know that in the flesh. Man, what happens when we have a hurt arm or a leg or foot or whatever, we tend to nurture that particular part, and we maybe can't function as well as we could if the body was complete and whole. And that is so true in the spiritual realm as well. I want to remind us that when the people came to support David, they said, "Behold, this is so very important." Because let me tell you, I said at the onset of this particular message that our enemy and our fight is with the adversary, the devil. We need to know that. We need to understand who it is that is against us. We need to understand who it is that wants to cause an uproar in the world today. Who it is that wants to pit brother against brother and people against people. He's been doing that for as long, amen, as the Bible records. But notice what the people said. There is something undeniable about the body of Christ. There is something about the body of Christ that the world cannot affect. There is something about the body of Christ that the world can't take it away from the body of Christ. Oh, the world can come against it. Adversaries can come against it. Satan can bombard it. But there is one thing that runs through the body of Christ that causes us, backed up by the Word of God, that we will be victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. We already know the Bible says we're going to win the battle. And when the people came to David, they made a very profound and true statement. Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Oh, that this nation could somehow understand that one nation under God is not just a group of words that were put together to make a rhyme. One nation under God, indivisible, praise God, indivisible, able to withstand the storm, able to withstand the controversy. When we come together as one united people, and amen, I know that happens or needs to happen in the nation, but it needs to happen in the body of Christ.
Christ. We are bone of bone. We are flesh of flesh. There is one thing that flows through our body, and that is the precious redeeming blood of Jesus Christ that unites us, that draws us together, that makes us love one another in spite of faults, in spite of failures, in spite of controversy. There is one common thread, the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Can you put your hands together this morning? We are one people. We are one body. Hallelujah. Because of the unity of the blood of Jesus Christ. I adhere to the Word of God. And I believe that we as Christians should adhere to the Word of God. We should not only obey the precepts and the statutes, the commandments of God, but we should apply them to our lives. We should not only talk of them, but we should exercise them. Amen. My Bible tells me that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. I addressed the church several years ago. Some might call it a vision, some might call it a dream. I don't know what it was. I just know the Lord laid something on my heart. I know John the Revelator said he was kind of slain in the Spirit and God began to speak to him. I don't recall being slain in the Spirit, but God certainly was speaking to me. And He began to show me something. He showed me a great influx of what many in the world would declare unfit. What was it? One of the candidates said the deplorables. Those cast aside by society. Many whose families would not even welcome them anymore into their home. Many homeless. In a sad condition. Physically, emotionally, more importantly, spiritually. Starving. God began to share with me. And He began to question my expectations. I know that people are sometimes a little selfish. And that happens to pastors and preachers as well. And I believe if pastors were absolutely and completely honest, they would like for the Lord to fill their church full of righteous, holy people. Can I say your job would be a lot easier? All in one mind and one accord. I'm reminded of the scripture that the physician was not to heal the well, but the physician came heal the sick. God said, there's maturity in the church, or there should be. I'll amen myself. Spiritual maturity should be in the body of Christ. Should not always be about us. But it should ever be about Him. The mission He has sent us to do. I'm just a nobody. But I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. I'm not somebody who's trying to tell everybody about how good the church is. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save your soul. I think the church body, local body, the entire body of Christ needs to come together. in that focus, in that frame of mind. Because when the people came together, amen, you can read the following chapters how God began to move. How no king or no kingdom could stand up to the children of Israel. Because once again, those 12 stones meant something. Hallelujah. Once again, that handshake and that hug around the neck, that meant something. You know what that means? That's not just a fancy thing or a passing thing that we do just to shake some hand because it's customary. I believe when we're shaking a brother's hand or a sister's hand, we're telling them, I'm there for you. God, I got your back. I'm going to help you if you need me. We're going to stand together against every adversary, against every affliction, against every sickness, against every time the devil comes and tries to attack one of our children, one of our brothers, one of our sisters. We're going to band together. Do you remember the 12 stones? Do you remember that we are one in the body of Christ? Hallelujah. And there's strength in unity. Man, there's strength when we band together, when we lay aside our differences, when we lay aside these little idiosyncrasies, and we begin to be one again, loving one another, supporting one another. Oh, that our nation could relate to that. But can I tell you, we're fighting a big battle. Because there are those in the nation, in the world, that are stirring the pot of controversy, of jealousy, of class warfare. You know what I'm talking about. For fear of being political, you see the same things that I see. And I long for that unity. I long for that one nation under God. But I'm just one pastor. Amen. That God set me over one flock. And let me tell you something, folks. We think it starts from the top and trickles down. No. It starts from the grassroots. It starts from you. It starts with me. Amen. If we want this nation to be better, we need to be better. Amen. If we want our neighbors to be better, it hurts sometimes, but we need to be better. If we want people to be more spiritual, maybe we need to be more spiritual. If we want people to love us, maybe we need to be the ones that love them. Amen. And reach out to them. There is something so strong and so good and so edifying when the Bible tells us to come together in one mind and one accord, things will be done. There's a major concern that healings are not what they used to be. Can I tell you, the source is the same. There's a feeling that we don't see miracles like we once did. Can I tell you, the miracle performer has not changed. He is no less strong today than he was from the very beginning of time when he blew the winds and split the Red Sea. Maybe our expectations are not where they need to be. When the people came together, they were reminded. I love this. I love this. I'm going to have to write this down. Put it in my truck so I can see. Amen. Behold, we are of thy bone and of thy flesh. It's easy for me to tell this brother that. Amen. Some people think we're twins. When they pass by Chick-fil-A on something, they say, I don't know, I think I saw Eddie or Jim one. They was all sitting in there with, you know, all we see was their white hair. Amen. Brother Adam joins us sometimes and he makes the average age go down about 20 years. But my point is, I can love them. Amen. There's no animosity. I missed a Friday and my heart just broke because I couldn't be there. I told them it felt like a month that I hadn't been there. It's easy to love them because they're flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. But God said, all. Oh, not just our little clique. Not just my little age group. Not just my little white-haired buddies. By that person that wronged you. How about that person that avoids you when they don't shake your hand? We are bone of bone, flesh of flesh. The same blood flows through each and every one of us. Glory to God. I hope that somehow, some way, the Spirit of God gets that in tune to our spirit today. That we are together. We are one body for Christ. Amen. Heaven to gain. Hell to shine. And take as many people as we possibly can. Church, we need to come together. Nation of America, we need to come together. Let me tell you, families, you need to come together. Brothers and sisters, you need to forget your differences and come together. God wants to bless this people. God wants to use this church. God wants to use you. Man, we're bone of bone, flesh of flesh. Hallelujah. And all the elders came together. You know how important that was? Because there was a division in the elders. Some were still true to Saul. Rightfully so. Saul was God's appointed person. But God didn't cast Saul aside. Saul cast God aside. Amen. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. It's His Word. But unfortunately, humans can forsake God. And if repentance is not there. And I don't understand not repenting, because my Bible tells me God is plenteous in forgiveness. I know for a fact He is. Because I think He's used almost all of it up on me. But He hadn't. Amen. It's like the meal barrel that keeps on giving. As many times as you ask, Father, forgive me. I messed up. Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to hurt their feelings. God, just forgive me. We ain't got time to have that division. We ain't got time to have that controversy. Lord, we need to be together. Lord, we need to be in one mind and one accord, praying, fasting. Come on, fasting is still, amen, something that God appreciates and something that God blesses. Amen. Can I tell you why we don't fast? Because we're complacent. We're pretty happy with our little few. And we're pretty happy with the road going kind of smooth. But if you look around you, it's not nearly as smooth as we like to pretend. There are people out there. I was reminded, I spent a lot of time yesterday with our other good friend. And he doesn't profess salvation. But he asked me, he said, why seemingly there's so many people in the world today hate Christians? And why is it all right to discuss any and everything else and even promote other gods? But if you say anything about Jesus, amen, you have to be sanctioned, amen, or you have to, they take that out, won't let you say it. And I begin to think, I know this is going on. But when the world sees it, when people begin to ask the church, what's going on? Let me tell you something. I was reminded of Christ said, you will be hated for my name's sake. Church, I want to encourage you today. If you are trying to please or appease the world, then maybe we're not where God wants us to be. But if in fact they hate you, and they hate what you stand for, and they hate what you preach, chances are you're living a life that's pleasing unto God. Now, I know that's not popular, but it's Bible. They'll be hated for His name's sake. But that doesn't make me want to quit. That doesn't make me want to give up. In fact, it stirs something up within my soul. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that the body of Christ is still full of power. I believe that the body of Christ still can affect the world. I believe that the body of Christ still can change the course of this world. Prayer and fasting. But we got to be together. Got to have unity. Got to love one another. Then all the elders of Israel came together. Glory to God. Can I interject this? What if, hypothetically, that all the believers of Christ, regardless of the name on the church, regardless of the administrator, regardless of the organization, suddenly begin to focus on lost souls and the body, entire body of Christ coming together to combat what is going on in our schools, in our world, in our offices, and on the television, and all the things that surround the controversy today. I would tell you that God would unite us, God would bless us, God would turn things around, but we've got our divisions. We've got our opinions. We've got our own form of worship. And we're satisfied just being ourself and you be yourself. Go where you feel comfortable. Go where it's not a church atmosphere. I don't understand that. Some people seek that. Because I read where the apostles called it the church. Amen. And I don't read where he served them coffee and donuts. And had smoke screen and music. But that's just me. Maybe I interpret it different. Amen. But it was called the church. Oh, if the church is just not this building, folks. If you got tunnel vision and all you see is this little body of Christ that's the body of Christ, you are missing out. There is a strong, vibrant, powerful body of Christ, but it needs to come together. Amen. When the left arm is just as strong as the right arm, and the left foot is just as powerful as the left foot, and the brain, amen, is circulating through the whole body, there is no stopping the people of God. There is no stopping the family of God. Souls will be won. Family members will come to Christ when we come together as an example. Glory to God. And all the elders of the tribes of Israel came together. You know me, I have an imagination. Amen. Some people call it something else. But I like to refer to it as an imagination. Some people say, oh, he's just a nut. But I still think it's my imagination. I'm imagining these elders coming together. Some of them hadn't even spoke to each other in years. Because the focus was different. Just my imagination. Maybe two or three of them come from this sect. Three or four come over here. And maybe the first inclination, the adversary says, you don't even need to speak to them. You know how they treated you. Just my imagination. But I believe what was taking place as God began to move the man out and move the man in, amen, where there would be cohesiveness, I believe that the Spirit of God began to move on the elders. And they laid aside their differences. They laid aside their prejudices. They laid their side, their hurt feelings. Maybe they began to hug one another. And then maybe they forgot everything except the most important part. We're bone of bone. Flesh of flesh. Whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. And I love you. Glory to God. And there's something that'll melt the heart of somebody when you tell them I love you. Amen. Not just I love you. I love you. Amen. I appreciate you. And I believe they all came together and they was 100%, amen, anointed King David as king over Israel. Somebody said they could never come together. They'll never get all the 12 tribes together. They'll never get everybody focused in the same goal. I'm telling you, the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. I'm telling you today, it can be done. It must be done. We got to start it. It can be done when we come together. God was with David. God blessed Israel when the people came together. Try to close with a story. I just told you I have a very vivid and wild imagination. I also still adhere to the MeTV. I like the old movies. I can almost recite every episode of Andy Griffith. At least that's what my wife said. Because she said, "Will you shut up and let me listen to it? I'm already telling you what Barney's going to do and what he's going to say." But how many remembers the series Little House on the Prairie? Half Pint, Laura. Man. Well, I'm going to try to make this as short as possible, but there was a bully in the school. And he thought it was his purpose in life to beat up everybody. And I was afraid of him. I didn't know what this is going to do. You know, the adults couldn't always be around. The teacher couldn't always be around. And the bully was smart. He knew when to pick on them and when to beat them up and all that. Until the rest of the school children said, "You know what? We need to come together. One-on-one, we're no match for him. He's bigger, stronger, meaner. But if we all, every single, girls and boys both." And this is not a sexist remark, but I've seen some girls that could make a mighty mean punch. And they have the sharpest elbows that ever was on this life. But all of these other children gathered together. And recess came. The line in the sand came. Hey, we can talk about this all day long, but until we draw the line in the sand, until we purpose in our heart to come together as one, take them five fingers, make a fist, and it's a lot stronger than five fingers are. They approached this bully. Let me tell you something. When you come against the devil in one mind and one accord, he's no match for that is within us. They encircled him. And they began to edge closer. Oh, he huffed and he puffed and he threatened and all that kind of stuff that goes along with a bully. But they didn't back down. Because there was strength and unity. And all of a sudden, from every angle, they attacked him. Man, they got him down. And they got their point across. One-on-one, I am no match for Satan. But God has given me power. And God has given you power. And if I come against Satan with just one finger, it's going to be very tough. But if I bring the members with me and we form a united, powerful source against Satan. Amen. And what I mean, we're not only concerned about our family and our children, but we're concerned about our brothers and sisters' family and their children. We're one. We're united. We're coming against the adversary. I want it to start here. I want it to start here in this congregation. I want it to start me. When the people come together, God will bless the mission. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor, say, "We are bone of bone and flesh of flesh." Satan don't want to hear that, but we're together in Christ. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Ed, I want to be a part of that. Tired of being an outsider looking on what's going on. I want to be included. You can be. The blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary is more than sufficient to save the world if we would only obey Him. There's one in this congregation today, if there's one under the sound of my voice that has not made that commitment, that has not made that profession of faith, that has not accepted Jesus, I do not know why you're delaying. I do not know why. There's no earthly reason you should put it off. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. We don't even have the promise of the next breath. It's on loan from God. But if you don't know Jesus, would you come down? We'll pray with you. Because we are bone of bone, flesh of flesh. It's the one this morning. I won't tarry. I won't tarry. And God even says He won't tarry, won't strive with men always. But if you're not ready, sometime, somewhere, please come to Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Powerful, powerful message this morning. Word of God is so true. I thank the Lord for it, for allowing us to be part of this morning. All your hearts and minds clear? Is the Lord just pricking your heart for any reason this morning? Now's the time. Now's the day. This is the hour. Just give it all to the Lord. We just love each and every one of you.